Welcome to Money Chats and Mishaps, a podcast by FamBrokers hosted by Renee Long, the director and founder of FamBrokers.
Thank you very much, Alison, for coming in. So Alison Wheeler is a client of mine, as well as somebody that I feel a bit close to as a client. We went through a couple of a tumultuous loan deal, shall we say. We won't go into that. But Alison not only is a healthcare professional, but she's also a wonderful coach and has some great networking incentives, and she supports businesses all around Southeast Queensland. So I'll pass it over to Alison for her little TED talk to say who she is and what she does, and we'll start with how she would talk to businesses and support businesses.
Yeah, thank you, Renee, for having me on. So, yeah, look, my background is as an occupational therapist. So that's kind of my humble beginnings, shall we say, coming into that world. But then, you know, where I started with that and where I ended up, you see, I worked a lot within businesses, going into businesses, looking at how they had, you know, I would be the one getting called in with the difficult claims where injuries had occurred, all that sort of thing. So got a lot into, well, how do we prevent these things from happening? So for me, I've always had that focus of how do you put the ambulance at the top of the cliff instead of the bottom of the cliff. Let's prevent rather than wait until there's a disaster. And that fits with just kind of my ethos for life. So as I've iterated through that career, I also started to work more and more with businesses, also had another business as well, which was very successful, built that up. During the pandemic, that kind of all changed, as a lot of our businesses did, pivoted again. So went back more and more, lent into the business coaching side as well throughout that time, supporting people. Again, from that aspect of let's put the ambulance at the top of the cliff. We don't have to wait till there's a disaster to solve something, because I think a lot of business owners, particularly the people I do, are very driven people, very successful, but they don't have someone they're talking to, Renee. They're like, I had one of my clients said yesterday, you're the only person I tell the truth to.
And that's so important. It's like I sometimes say to clients, I know that there's something else. Tell me, I need to know where the body's buried. Because if you don't tell me, I can't help you. And sometimes that shame with business, and I deal with a lot of business owners, and they don't tell you where the issue is or where it started. And sometimes it could have been helped up here, but they've got to this point, and now it's danger Will Robinson time.
100%. Hang on. I think I can do it on my own. And I think that's a bit of a society thing, right? This viewpoint of...
And they don't want shame.
They don't want the shame. They don't want that vulnerability of, oh, I'm not coping. When on the outside, right, like everything looks okay on the outside, then they're peddling and they're struggling on the inside. And, you know, they're two steps away from a disaster. Instead of going, hey, hold on, I need help. And the other thing too is often people don't know who to ask for help. Where do I go for help?
That's true.
Too, as well. And so it can take a while.
I think going to a business coach, it means that they're failing. Going to a business coach doesn't. I've had business coaches in the past where I think I know how to walk into the room and present to the board and everything. But then I say, oh, I'm a bit stuck on this. Getting the other person's perspective changes everything. It's like that light bulb moment. But the rooms illuminate, and there's more than one room. Without asking that, it doesn't mean that you're failing in your job.
100%. And I always think it's a really great analogy. You cannot see the label on the jar when you're inside the jar. You can't read the label, right? You can't read the label from the outside. So that's the idea of having that coach, that third-party person, to help you. Okay, well, what if you looked at it from this viewpoint? Or what if you looked at it from this viewpoint? What would happen then? And just allowing you to adjust, even, you know, and this is the other thing that I think is super common with people too, and particularly business owners. I will often, one of the first questions I ask, well, what do you want? And do you know how many people can't answer that question? It is a huge percentage.
Really?
I want success. I want more success. I'd like more revenue. I'd like more money. Okay, good. Well, what does that mean?
Yeah, what does that mean for them? What does it mean for their business?
Exactly. I want to be more successful. Okay, great. But what does that mean for you and your business? That's like I'm going to throw a dart at a dartboard and just hope. You know, blindfolded and hope that it hits somewhere. It's like, well, how about you actually have, where do you want that dart to hit? because then you can reverse engineer. You can reverse engineer just about anything right? Yeah. But if you also,
if you know where you're going, it's easy to get there. But 100%. If you don't know where you're going and you're starting to drown, then you need that help.
Yeah, you can, exactly. And the other part of knowing your goals and reverse engineering as well is you may actually discover in that process that your business is no longer viable. Maybe you actually need to pivot. Like sometimes the best thing for your business is to shut it down and move on. Now, that's not always the case because I think there's so many things someone can do to
save it, develop it,
et cetera. But there does come a point sometimes where you just have to go, actually, you know what? The best thing we can do here is to close, move on, or sell, move on, different periods of people's lives.
Yeah.
See, it's not, and I think the other side of it to Renee is it's not always just the business goal either. Yeah. What are their goals? What is the business owner's goals? Because what are you playing the game of business for?
Yeah.
Right? Because if it's just for business, what's the why? People burn out.
Why are you in business? But what's the benefit of that business to others? And sometimes it's that point too. So I'm going to say something that's a little bit of a funny story. So when I was working for a second-tier lender, COVID happened. So a broker came to me. I train brokers, that sort of thing. A broker came to me and said, I've got a client that has all this business and he's asset-rich, cash poor. He used to make condoms, effectively. But he got together with a boiler maker, an engineer, and an electrical engineer, I think, because he knew them. And they all designed, within 3 months, he had a glove-making factory when COVID first hit. So he needed to pivot, but he didn't have the cash flow, so he wanted to take cash out, and none of the major banks would do it. So we went to the broker went to us, and we said, actually, he's got five hospitals that had given him a 3-year contract. So he got a short-term equity release from property so he could do that. He sold his business to one of the largest latex, it was non-latex products that he was making, to a latex company. And he started out in a small commercial workshop that created condoms for birth control and safer sex. And then went to gloves. So same, but five. And that's what he said. The broker actually said, the client said, this is great. I can do same with five. And I didn't click at first and I went, oh, okay. But it was hilarious. And that pivot changed his trajectory. He paid everything out. He got this other business. He retired early on the profits. And he's probably one of the only success stories I actually know of with COVID because there was so much tragedy. But pivoting is vital with a business.
And continuously.
Yes.
Right? So I say to business owners, sometimes it's more important that you tether yourself to the goal, which is why you need to know that you need to know the goal. Tether yourself to the goal, not the vehicle. Because otherwise your identity is so caught up in the vehicle that you can't see when you need to pivot.
Yeah.
But if you have your eye on the goal and why you want that, then you have enough distance on the vehicle and still being able to know who you are. You haven't lost yourself in your business. Yeah. And a lot of business owners lose who they are. They lose themselves.
The
purpose. They lose their identity in their business and become their business. Well, no, your business is a vehicle to something else.
There are so many of my clients that are self-employed and their business is them. The hardest thing for me when I restarted my business is I needed to look at my business. I wanted to do everything myself because that was me, but it's not. It's my business. And changing that mindset can be hard, but it was the best thing I ever did. And I actually relinquished some control and gave it to somebody else to do certain things, which took pressure away from me so I could do the things I was better at.
Yes.
And that advice is fantastic. That's gold.
Yeah, like so many people, particularly self-employed, and even people actually not even self-employed. Self-employed plus still business owners that have large businesses. Yeah. They don't have an organisational chart, right? They don't know the communication lines in the business. Yeah. They're just a basic thing where – so they're drowning underneath their business because they're the point of everything.
Yeah.
So that change
– circle that goes back.
Exactly. You cannot have that many people trying to talk to you all at the same time. Yeah. It's just too much noise. So if that structuring's not right, then you'll have no breathing space. But again, it's viewing your business as an actual business, not a hobby, not a job. You're actually building a legitimate business, which then requires eventually you scale out of it.
Yeah.
Right. But if you don't build it as a business, it will always just be a job that you put an awful lot of hours into.
Yes. And those hours significantly impact somebody's overall health.
100%. 100%. A lot of business owners that I deal with, they put so much energy and effort into their business, which is fantastic. At the end of the day, business takes a heck of a lot of oomph. It takes a lot of energy and effort. But what is the point if you can't enjoy it at the end, or you're not taking yourself along the journey with you, where you don't actually have to sacrifice everything along the way, and especially not your health?
Yeah.
And so I'm obviously been a health professional as my background, and also a professional athlete my whole life. You know, that side of wellness and health is important because how can you as a business owner want to perform at a high level and give, service your clients well, give everything you can to your clients, but never actually fill the cup? Or you know, to me, business is no different than high performance sport.
Yeah.
If you want to perform well, you have to look after the vehicle in which you are, you know, actually going to perform
petrol,
from.
You need the petrol, the water. You need to service it. The brakes need to work. The steering wheel needs to work.
Oh, wait, and hold on. You actually need sleep.
Get out of town.
I know, God forbid you need sleep. Weird. Yeah. And so often, particularly in our society, right, we wear the badge of honour of, oh, I had no sleep. Sorry, it's not a badge of honour.
No, it's not.
It's not. It screws your body up and it causes major health problems. And I can attest to that. Like, right, like I am not good at that. Right? I've learned how to sleep as a superpower and how important sleep is for performance. Because I would be the first person to put my hand up, I'll sleep less. I can do more if I sleep less. It's like, well, from my own personal experience in dealing with a heck of a lot of clients as well, you actually don't. How about you just get really smart and ask for
help? And you can't.
Don't switch off constantly in your business. Business is 24/7. But a lot of the time, it's this unwillingness to ask for help.
Yep. And so that impacts on a lot of. So with larger businesses where they have employees, and it can be an SME where there's non-employees. Sometimes the head, and you're right, they don't have the organisational chart and everything filters back, and they're God to everyone. So they don't have that capacity. So in finance, you work with a lot of businesses that don't look at the business financials, which impacts them, it stresses them, they're not looking after themselves, they have a critical incident where they haven't done something, and people say, oh, they've had a breakdown, or they've had a heart attack, or they've had something. From the stresses from not looking after yourself. Looking after yourself is vitally important. And I've worked in HR before, I've worked in banking, and I used to run medical teams in a couple of different community services and medical teams where we'd go across and there'd be different people in different areas and low socioeconomic and otherwise. And the person or the family, it's the same in business. They get that. And financial literacy, overall health and well-being, mental illness and mental health significantly impacts that person. And when they get to that stage, when it falls off completely. And it impacts that business where some businesses close down because they never ask for the help. Asking for help doesn't mean a weakness. Asking for help means a strength because you want to continue for that business family. And all of those things that you've talked about, if one person can think, I'm going to phone Alison Wheeler because, she talks the talk and walks the walk. Hence, I've invited you on the website because the podcast is about supporting others and about learning. So some of the things that you have just said, they're absolute gold. So with that wellness side of it and asking for that help, what would you suggest for somebody running a business that is feeling stressed, that doesn't feel like they can come and ask somebody, what is that critical moment that they should look for?
Yeah, look, if
and
you
how
think
can they do it?
Number one, if you think you need help, you probably did 6 months ago.
Yes, exactly. But they do
in,
it too
in
late.
Aurea, like, yeah. So you, by that stage, they're like, you know, I'm hanging on and, yeah. You know, oh, my God, I'm out at midnight hanging out my washing and, you know, and you're mm-hmm. snapping at your partner because mm-hmm. they haven't taken the rubbish out. And, you know, like all of those things, short with kids, you name it, it's mm-hmm. kick the dog. Like yeah. all of those, like right.
Dog
all,
starts to growl at you.
That's right. All of those things start to happen. Yeah. And we think, oh, we're just having an off day, or oh, I'm burnt out. You don't have to. You do not have to be burnt out.
You don't have to get to that.
You don't
point.
Actually have to get to the point.
Exactly.
You don't have to wait again. It's the analogy, like I said, you don't have to wait till that. You don't have to put the ambulance at the bottom of the cliff. You don't even have to jump off the cliff. You can prevent it all
exactly.
from happening in the
they've
first place.
They've got the defibrillator. They've got the oxygen. They can help you there, and then you can go back.
Yes, but why not have an abundance of it? You don't even have to wait till you've got a shortage.
Exactly.
You could just stay in abundance of it. Like, you don't have to wait until it gets critical at all. So I think the factors of asking for help is, where can you build confidence? Because it comes down to trusting yourself. So often by that time,
and you're
someone,
not weak, you've done nothing wrong, and if somebody comes to you with constructive criticism and says, why don't we do this here? No, I know what we're doing. And then at a later stage, you're like, I didn't listen, I was rude, I was dismissive. You know, those things as well.
Yeah, but you can go back and you can go, okay, oops, sorry, right? Like, fix it. It's
exactly.
not that it's not disaster, it's not the end of the world. But sometimes too, if you find it really difficult to ask for help, and a lot of people do, by the way, it's sane. Sanity is asking for help. Insanity is not asking for help.
Yep. And doing the same thing over and over again as well.
Exactly. Yeah. So it starts small. So I just worked with a client this week, and help is just not. She's buried under her business. She's got, you know, the kids, the partner, she's the everything in every aspect. And I said, okay, then let's look at where can we get you some help that you're willing to accept help.
Yeah.
Right. So. Okay, what about a cleaner? Well, she feels she's a failure if she's okay. What about getting someone to do some printing for you and asking yourself to do some distributions for you? Well, that she was willing to do.
Okay, fantastic.
Great. And I'm like, okay, she's like, but what do I write? And I'm like, okay, well, let's look at good old ChatGPT and let's leverage some AI help, right? Mm-hmm. Like, help can come in all sorts of ways and shapes and quickly. And I wanted her to see that help can be fast and it can be simple. It doesn't have to be this overcomplicated thing.
Yeah.
And then from there, now she's the willingness. Okay, cool. Yeah, okay, I'll get
that
the cleaner.
Worked. It's a small chunk.
That's right.
The pie's still there. But we've chewed away at the
and
crust.
Then ask, and I said to her, okay, look, how about you just ask one person for one thing for help this week? Just one person for one thing.
Simple, easy.
Yep, so that because she has an undeveloped help muscle. She doesn't know how to ask. She feels the shame, embarrassed, all these things, as do a lot of business owners. It's like, well, they're not failing. They're underdeveloped muscle. They haven't used it.
Yeah.
And it's just like going to the gym and doing bicep curls.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to go lift a 20-kilo weight to begin with. You get the 1 kilo. I said, okay, so we're at 1 kilo weights. Ask one person.
Yeah.
I said, and you know what? They'll probably say yes because there's so many people that can see you need help. They're just waiting for you to ask and they want to help you, but they don't know how to help you because when they ask you if you need help, you say, no, I'm
fine.
Okay. I'm fine. I've got
that.
It. Yep. You know,
I'm
I don't need help. Yep. I'm all right.
All good. It's under control.
That's right. When you're crying on the inside and you know it isn't.
Yeah.
Because it's sometimes too, people are that close to the edge that when they say, actually, I need help, they're so afraid they're going to fall apart.
Yeah.
And so they're just holding on. But the only place that you're going to end up is falling apart. And maybe you do need to fall apart in order to put yourself back together in a way that's going to serve you better than the way you just built it.
I've had clients phone me up and they've cried their eyes out on the phone, and you just sit there and listen. I'm glad I studied psychology and I did that. But you'll sit there and listen, and then they go, oh, I feel like such a failure. I'm this, I'm that. Okay, I just need you to stop. Breathe for me. Do you want to grab a cup of tea and we'll continue the conversation? Are you okay to do that? Those short couple of words as well to provide. And they'll come back to you and they'll say, okay. And you'll go, okay, I need to meet you. Oh, and sometimes they don't want to meet you because, and they'll come back to you in a month or two's time and say, it's a worse position. But I didn't want you to come out at this stage because I cried to you on the phone. Do you know what? We all cry. If you poked me in the eye, I'd cry right now. I get an allergy, I'd cry. Crying emotionally isn't a sign of weakness either. And then you sit down and you work with them. And as a broker, my job isn't to refer, but I refer so many of my SME clients to accountants, financial planners, solicitors, a business coach. When you see them struggling and when you see it impacting them, finance has a lot to do with people's stresses at work. And that's another stress that some people don't want to see. And then it gets to the point where they have to refinance houses to try and boost things up because things have changed. And if they don't, they're going to lose it all. And that's when they honestly usually come to me.
100%. And you mentioned something earlier about, you know, a lot of business owners don't review their numbers.
No, they don't.
I ask my clients every week, okay, what are your numbers? What are your numbers? What are your numbers?
I call it 100%, a wealth check.
Yeah. Right? They were, oh, well, I'm just, you know, my accountant takes care of that. Or my accountant gives, no, your accountant does an after effect.
Exactly.
After the fact.
Yep. Right? You need to know today what's happening.
Correct. You need the pulse on your business. And I'm like, okay, what's your revenue? I'm like a broken down record. What's your revenue? Okay, where are you sitting? How are you going? What's the finances looking like? Mm-hmm. Because you have to know. Mm-hmm. You need to know because, again, you can't prevent something after it's happened.
Exactly.
But if you're on the pulse and you're looking at it.
And sometimes things come out over a period of time.
Absolutely.
So I've had clients where they're hemorrhaging money and they shouldn't be because their P&L is here and there's an obvious issue. And you'll go, I had a recruitment company once and I used to own a recruitment company back in the day. I'm like, your wages are huge for your invoices that you're sending out. Why is it? And I said, oh, you know, and we went through some things. I said, look, if it was me, I'd go to my accountant and ask for forensic accounting done. They actually had forensic accounting done. And their payroll person was in financial trouble. And that's where I like to do financial wellness and education because people can review situations. I'm not saying it's going to stop from stealing from you, but it'll help them and help other people understand themselves as well and help them. But she had put things in the system. She was paying herself up to 12 wages a week to different family members. It was never invoiced. Some were invoiced out. And one of the major companies came back and said, we've got all these invoices that don't marry up. And that's helped with the catalyst on that. She brought the police in, all sorts of things. The person had stole nearly $500,000 over 18 months.
Yeah.
And that nearly crippled the business. They were, and they, with that money, I mean, they were successful. They were still above the line, but they could have put on more staff. They could have got a better technology. They could have assisted clients better. They could have got more tenders and quotes. They could have done a whole heap of things, but they kept hemorrhaging money, so that stopped them from buying new vehicles, stopped them from doing this, stopped them from doing this. Oh, we need more profit. And they were starting to drift up in their cost of what they were charging because of that. If you don't know what's happening in your business, finances will show you where some of your plug holes are that you need to just pop in. And sometimes it's easy. But working with business, if you don't know your bottom line financially, I'll talk to clients about, okay, so what's your profit and loss? How much did you earn? I don't know how much I earned last year. You don't know how much you earned personally or your business. What do you mean? I can see the tax returns. Okay, that's fine. Could bring up the tax returns. So do you draw a director's salary? I don't know. I get wages every week. I said, okay, is it director's salary or wages? I don't know. Okay, so let's work it out. because that also impacts where the person's position is. So, and it's, there's so many confusing things for clients, but knowing where your bottom line is at all times is essential.
100%. You have to be looking at your numbers weekly, not monthly, not quarterly, weekly.
Weekly.
Because so much can change in a short period of time, but at least it allows a business owner to be agile.
Yes.
It gives you agility. Exactly. You can make different decisions. You can ask for help earlier. You can you can circumvent things. You can move. You can, and particularly at the moment, in the last, 12, 24 months, and probably in the next 12, things are, for a lot of business owners, cost of goods is up, wages are up, everything's up. So literally everything's gone up, you must be keeping an eye on it. And also then, are you now price pointed at a position? Like, I've seen, they haven't changed their prices in 10 years. It's like, well, how can you not making very much profit then? Like, do you need to do an adjustment, or do you need to actually, if adjusting your prices puts you out of the market, then do you need to bring in a new product?
Exactly. Pivoting with that new product.
Right.
Fantastic.
So there's so many things that can be done if someone is actually keeping an eye on their business, themselves, again, even their family. We don't... I wish we would all stop waiting for things to become a true problem.
Yeah.
Right? Then, or what we consider a problem, where it's achy enough, where it's really, really bad. Oh, no, I've got to wait till there's an infection in the cut.
It's like,
really? Why not just, clean it out and put a Band-Aid over it and have it heal in like 2 days instead of 6 weeks?
Yeah. Right. And end up with a surgical nurse. And
and all the others, right? Stitches, you name it. Now we've got this whole drama around it. We can do things so much earlier. And it does take courage.
Oh, yeah.
Right? 100%. It takes courage. It takes confront. It takes doing hard things. It takes asking difficult questions of yourself. Have someone ask you those difficult questions. And, if you are having trouble confronting your finances in your business or confronting any aspect, have someone be there with you while you confront it so that you can.
Even HR issues. HR, a bad employee can cost staff turnover, can create issues, can create companies being sued. And there's services out there that can provide you that one-on-one. There's contractors that can come in just for that. And you know what? That $200, that $1,100, $1,500, $2,500, $5,000 could save you $100,000 in the long run.
100%. And I say hire slowly, fire fast, right?
Yes.
Like, because that, and I've just had that with another client as well, toxic employee, right? Not doing the right thing. It's like...
It's
a whole culture.
Yeah.
Is at effect. Your whole business is at mercy of this one person.
Mm.
So
that's not okay.
It's not okay. Well, you don't have someone else. I'm like, you are better off without anyone.
Them. Exactly.
Because the others can't rise.
Yeah.
And also, what if that is preventing you from finding the right person?
Yeah.
Because no good person is going to come in and work in that culture with that person there.
Hi, Sam. You work at such and such. I've just... God, the job looks like it's mine. I'd love to work there. Tell me about it. Oh, you don't want to work in that section.
Exactly.
And there's that as well. Word of mouth is huge. People phone people that they know in industries, especially. Toxic people cost. There's been so many studies and empirical studies, white papers, so many things are out there about what one toxic person, it can destroy, disable, dismember a business.
Well, if a business with employees isn't moving forward and they're doing what on the outside, what looks like they're doing all the right things, right? There is someone undermining it.
Mm-hmm.
So that business owner has to find who that is.
Yep.
Because they've got to extract that person out of the environment. There is something wrong, and it's and it will be a person. Because if they're doing all the other things, they're marketing, they're promoting, they're doing all the things, right?
Yeah.
Then, and it's still not right, there's a person.
Yeah.
There is one of those toxic people in that environment.
And they may not know who they are.
No, often they don't.
That other person coming in can see that, because that person will often go to that consultant and say, oh, yeah, they don't do this very well. They need help with this. They need to do that. And they're telling everybody else that they're not doing their job, which they are, and they're doing everything to promote, but they haven't done this, this, or this because of these reasons. And it's resulted in wide-ending a workplace. So my mother passed away 2.5 years ago, but she was a lecturer and a PhD. And when she was doing a paper and doing some research when she passed away on workplace sociopaths, her research frightened the heck out of me, Alison. They had workplace psychopaths and all of these studies, and studies in big business and smaller business. But it frightened you when you read what happened from here to here, and they brought people in and then they're like, I'm going to write a paper on this. This is going to be a great case study. When the case studies have come out, the impact has not only affected them financially, but reputationally. Reputation is everything to a business as well. It impacted, they lost, some of the companies lost more than 35% of their staff. Mm. Now, it costs more than $100,000 a year to employ one person. It's your cost. So you don't make money off that employee for the first 12 months. It's a cost to your business. When you set up your business, it's a cost. But that employee costs you around $100,000. Because there's time, money, and effort put into it. If that person then comes in and dismantles everything, it's catastrophic.
It is catastrophic.
What comes out of it.
Absolutely. So it is important to it's not, you know, to keep an eye on finances, but also, you know, again, it's what kind of culture do you want to bring?
Culture.
What are you setting up KPIs? Are you reviewing those with your staff? Do you meet with your staff? Do you talk to them?
I don't have time. What would you say to somebody that says that? In HR, we used to get, I don't have time to do the KPIs or performance reviews, but that person's a problem.
Yeah.
So what would you say to them?
Well, I would ask them what the cost is first, work out what I think it's costing them. But I'd also get them to do a time audit. I get everyone I worked with, do a time audit. Show me your schedule for the last 2 weeks.
Mm.
Because it's no doubt I can find time.
Yeah.
No doubt I can find time. Show me what you've done for the last 2 weeks. Show me your schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't prioritise, everyone has the same amount of time. It's just we all have different priorities.
Yeah.
And if everything has the same priority level, then of course you don't have time.
Yeah.
Because you can't actually do everything at the same time. Mm. It's impossible. So it's a matter of looking at doing a time audit and then working out where you do have time, where you are spending your time, yeah, and where your priorities are, and putting that in the correct order. And then actually putting a schedule that's run off priorities of importance, not a schedule where everything is urgent and important.
Mm.
And then again, looking at, okay, well, if you don't have time, what do you need to get rid of so you do have time for the things that are really important?
Yeah.
Again,
okay. Yeah.
So, you know, actually looking at, really looking at your time, because often, as we know,
yeah,
we use that as an excuse. I don't have time. That's our first socially acceptable response. I don't have time, don't have money. We can all say those things.
Yeah.
But when you really look at it, it's like, well, how are you really spending your time?
Mm-hmm.
And is there a better way and a more productive way, or are you just busy being busy?
And that's right. I hate when everybody says to you, oh, I'm busy, I'm busy, I'm busy. I'm happy to be busy and productive. I hate those days when I hamster wheel it, and that's what I call it.
Nothing worse.
And it's like, I have achieved nothing. I feel like, bleh. But the next couple of days, because I've started things, but I can go through my time, and I know I waste time on things. I'll put my hand up and say, but if you review it, so I review it monthly. I'm not perfect. I'm terrible at some things. And I am a procrastinator. So I'll do everything else. Or I have to do something else for certain things. And it's those things I hate. So I've actually pulled them down a bit. And the best thing I've done in the last 3 months is give some of those tasks I don't like to someone else. They're getting done and I can be more productive here, whereas I didn't have as much time there because I was stuffing around. And I'm happy to say, you know, my biggest mistake and biggest flaw is that, and I'm a control freak. If I do it, I know it's going to be done because I've got the experience and I can do it, I can do it, I can do it. But without passing it on, I nearly drowned.
Well, you can't grow. Your business can't grow when you keep strangleholding everything, right? It can't.
But it did. When I handed it away, I got this balloon.
Yeah,
and I'm
that's
like,
right.
Damn.
Yeah, then you're like, great. why didn't I do that ages ago?
Why didn't I do that six months ago?
Exactly. Yeah. You know, but we think, oh, no, it's better if I handle it. It's faster if I handle it myself. Well, really?
But it's actually not.
No, it's not because you're doing things that you hate to do, so it actually takes you way longer.
It takes me away from things, and it does. It takes you longer. For the things that you don't want to do that you don't have to do, passing that on, that was the best thing I've ever done in my life, I think. In my life.
I think, though, the thing that you said was you already knew how to do it. So that is one mistake. What some business owners do, I notice, is they try and pass the task off before they have any knowledge of how to do it, which means then when they pass it off to the next person, they have no idea whether that person's doing a good job or not a good job because they don't have any reality on the job in the first place.
Yeah.
So I still think, you know, pass off as much as you can, but if you actually have some knowledge of that, of how it needs to be done.
And if that person leaves, then that knowledge management of the business is impacted.
Yes. So, and the other thing is, I love the analogy of eat the frog.
Yeah.
Right? Like, so do those things that you're putting off, do them the very first thing. And the reason being is then you have this major win that of completing a task. You feel great. Right? Yeah. It's like, woohoo! And then you actually want to go and do more things. And that thing that you're putting off, it's not like you don't think about it the whole entire day. Right?
And
it's on your mind all the time.
It takes you time. It takes you more time.
Exactly.
100%.
Yes.
Oh, wow. No, that's great. Eat the frog. I love it. There's so many analogies that we think of. And, I mean, we're self-employed. Whether it's a large business or a small business, I did a quick jaunt and did Mackay and Gladstone and Hervey Bay and back. And I saw a business and went through and did a business finance health check. I saved him $22,000, just over $20,000, nearly $22,000, for 1 year of fees and charges. He didn't know. And he was paying a guy who wasn't even there on the days to keep him employed. And I said, okay, you need to talk to somebody. But they did and I said, do a staff survey, do anything. And that's out of my remit. But they did a staff survey of what things could you do. And Mackay, a lot of people do FIFO, so it's hard to keep good employees. So he was paying this one particular guy for not working. And he could flex off. But that's where a lot of the hole was. But with the finances, he was going to the same bank over and over and over again, and they were just adding fees and charges and lumping it on top. They weren't giving him different, like they didn't give him a line of credit or they didn't give him
no other solutions.
There was no solutions, no options. So I said, there's three lenders that I would go to if I was you. Here's your options. So there was plan A, plan B, plan C, three different lenders for each one. This is all going to save you money. You have a look what suits your needs because some of them have got, you know, different account and you can actually do the transfer flows yourself. Do you have time for that? Do you need them to do it? Do you have your bookkeeper to do it? Rah, rah, rah. But with the staff, he got a lady who flew up from, because he's talked to me since, a lady that flew up from Brisbane, and she put in this workflow initiative. He said the staff are great. He said, I'm getting more staff attendance because they're getting what they want. So he's, And this is silly, but he lets them now, so there's no work between 8 o'clock and 9:15, so everyone can drop their kids to school. That was the biggest thing from the husband and wives. They needed to drop their kids to school and they didn't have the time. And then from 2:30 to 3:30, they drop the kids home and they come back. They work later, they're more productive, their kids are safe, so one of the partners is home with them, they're getting some family time. They're flexible. The other partner's not worried about getting the kids to school, getting to be late, who's doing this, who's doing that. They help get them sorted. Partner B comes in, takes them to school. Partner A gets to go to their job on time. They're more productive, less stressed. So putting in that initiative, I thought that was great.
That's so good.
You know,
that is so cool.
To be able to do that, he goes, it doesn't cost me any extra for insurances or electricity because we literally downturn. He said, and the ones that don't have kids think it's great because they get more done when nobody's there.
Yeah.
When there's only three people on the floor.
Yep.
And it was just like, what a brilliant idea. And because they don't pay as much as the mines, they lost so many good staff. But for them, the work-life balance with their kids and getting them to and from school and being safe. So the safety impact for kids was impacting them. So how good's that? I think that's a great initiative.
That's a great initiative.
But, yeah.
But it comes down to asking those quality questions.
Mm. And bringing looking, a professional in to correct, help.
Looking
like
at,
you.
Looking, being able to then look at your business in a different way.
Yeah. I would never have thought it. He didn't think of it. And he's like, oh, half of them are boilermakers and fitters and that. He said, why would they worry about that? Well, they needed that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
So that's fantastic.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love that. I love that idea.
But, yeah, so from gloves through to brakes. But, oh, see, I wouldn't have thought that. But everybody said, you know, picking the kids up is such a stress and a hassle for me and my partner, blah, blah, blah. And, yeah, so I thought it was a great solution.
It is a good solution. Mm-hmm.
So yeah. She was amazing. I've actually got her number, and if anybody needs it, I will send it over. but thinking out of the box, a lot of businesses don't think out of the box. So what one thing could you say for a business owner, whether it be an SME, large or small, that thinking out of the box can save their business or save their sanity at least? Something that you could give them that gold nugget before they're drowning? My mum used to say, you don't know, you're the frog in the water, so you don't know when you're boiled because it's a slow burn, and then all of a sudden you're cooked, you can't get out.
Yeah, look, I think that one of the biggest things is take the blindfold off and confront your business and know that and ask for help. Yeah. It's okay to ask for help, right?
It is okay to ask for help.
Just have to know that it's okay to ask for help. You don't actually have to go slow in business.
That's true. But when you get help, it opens up so many other avenues and doors.
Absolutely. And I think in terms of out of the box, I think that a lot of people drop successful actions in their business.
Yeah.
So one of the most, it's not very out of the box, but it is very important, is identify the successful actions in your business and repeat those.
Yes.
Repeat successful actions. Don't have to keep inventing new ones. Work out what works and do more of that before you offshoot and do all sorts of other things. Mm-hmm. What is working and do more of what is working. But if you're not even looking, if you're looking for everything that's not working all the time and you aren't looking for what's exactly, and you're not actually looking for what's working, you miss what's working. So you may be reinventing and trying to do all these new things, yet right under your nose is the thing that works that you need to multiply. So at some point during your working week or month or whatever, you need to take a stock take on what works and do more of what works. And that would be my tip. That's not really that out of the box, but no, considering but that not many people
what?
Do it.
I don't do it.
Yeah.
I don't see. I always want to do new things, and this is what I can do, and this is what I can do, and now I'm okay with this, and rah, 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 but I never look at what I'm doing really well, and probably I need to focus on that. So thank you very much. Free tips and advice from Miss Alison. So thank you so much. And your quick little plug for your business, how would a business owner out there contact you to get you to help them?
Yeah, absolutely. Probably the easiest is to jump on my website, which is Alison, Alison, Wheeler.com, and they can book in to have a free strategy session and conversation about where they're at and how I may be able to help.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for coming. It's been really good and really good gold nuggets along the way. Thank you very much. So for everybody out there that needs somebody, the Alison Wheeler, and may I just say, she deserves the the. She's pretty darn good. So contact her on her website and get that free consultation. Nobody gives anything for free. Please sign her up. She does a fantastic job. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
Anytime.